So this morning, we are continuing our series called I Am. We started the series a couple weeks ago where we looked at the idea of I Am and what that meant in the Bible. How this was what God identified himself as over and over again in the Scriptures. And of course, then it makes perfect sense that 9 times in the book of John, Jesus says the same thing. We talked about how 2 of those times, Jesus simply said, I am, like God said, I am. 7 other times, he added a descriptor. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life, like this morning. So this morning, if you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 6. We'll be in there. It's verses 25 through 40. If you don't have your Bible, you can grab your phone and look at it, or it'll be on the screen. Just don't tell me the Illinois score. But let me set the stage for John for this passage in John 6. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 people, right? And so we know that he fed 5,000, and that was just men. You know, there's probably 10 or 15,000 people that he actually fed, because there's men and children, men, women, and children there. So there's a lot of people. Jesus feeds all these people. And so he feeds all these people, and these people are like, this is amazing. Let's go follow this guy. And then Jesus disappears, right? Jesus disappears, and he starts walking across the sea, right? The lake, right? And that whole passage happens, and Jesus walking across, and beelines his way to around the lake, and he gets to a spot, and he starts teaching the next day. Now, here's the deal. These people who had just eaten the bread, and they're like, let's follow Jesus, they say, where'd he go? You know, they're looking for him, they're trying to find him, they can't find him, and they start searching, and all of a sudden they hear that there's a commotion around, or up and around, and they're like, okay, so they go, and there's Jesus, and they're like, how did you get here? You know, like, there's no time, like, how'd you get here so fast? And of course, Jesus doesn't say, well, I took a straight line, right? He said, well, it's me, that's what I do, right? So Jesus is teaching, and that's our setting for this morning. He's teaching people, and then all these other people that had just been fed this amazing meal from Jesus, he had seen this amazing, mighty miracle, they add to the group, and that's when this text takes off. So here it is, John 6, 25 through 40. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. Bread. Is there a better smell in the world than that? Right? I mean, bread is amazing. It is. We don't really bake bread at our house. Every once in a while we'll do some banana bread, but we're not like from scratch bread makers, you know. But like, man, if you walk to a place, you go to a place, you go to a bakery where there is fresh bread being baked, oh my goodness, right? That is something else. When I grew up in Champaign. Champaign is like where the second or third Jimmy John's ever was. The first one was in Charleston, Illinois. But Jimmy John's, from their inception, always had this sign, free smells. And if you're walking to a Jimmy John's, oh my goodness, that is a good smelling place, right? Bread is baking, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome, right? I love bread. But everyone hates it now, right? Everybody hates bread. You know, whether it's, you know, I'm low carb or I'm keto or I'm high protein, every diet hates bread. And if it's not a diet, you know, well, I'm gluten-free or I'm allergic to wheat or something. For some reason, we just said bread is evil, right? We cut it out of our lives. Our society has a war against bread. But I'm going to tell you what, bread is delicious. I remember my sister and I, when we lived together in Florida at my first ministry, we were doing low carb, and it was the first time we'd ever done it. You know, we hadn't heard of it before, and so we're doing it, and we're doing pretty good. My sister really missed bread, though, and she would just take some bread, put it in her mouth, chew it up, and spit it out. And I don't know if that exactly was the idea, but whatever, it worked, right? But can we be honest? You know, bread is delicious. You love it, I love it. I know bread is a curse word, but we all do. Now, I want you to think of something else. Can you imagine the bread that Jesus gave the people that day? Can you imagine how amazing that bread must have tasted that Jesus made? Is it any wonder that the crowd is trying to find him the next day? You know, they're probably thinking, you know, I'm getting a little hungry. What should we do for lunch today? Let's find Jesus. Let's find him. That food that Jesus gave us was awesome. Let's go find him. And when they find Jesus, they're amazed at how fast he'd gotten there to the other side. And they're questioning, oh, how did he do that? Well, the quickest way is a straight line, right? If only they had known. If only they had known how Jesus got there. But this morning, I just want to take this text. I want to boil it down. I want to boil it down to what I see. And it's this. It's simply, I see two questions and a promise in this passage this morning. So two questions. Number one, Do you believe in the one God sent? It's the first question I see here. Notice what Jesus says. He says, you're not looking for me because the people I've healed or the demons I cast out or the teachings that I have taught or because you believe that I am God. No, I gave you food yesterday and today you want more. You are hungry. You want a free, easy meal. And so Jesus says, listen, don't merely work for your next meal. Food, don't work for food that is just gone after lunch or work for food that is, I want you to work for food that is eternal and that leads to eternity. And people say, well, what is this food? How do we get it? And Jesus answered in verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus tells the crowds that day, here's the work that the Father is asking from you. Believe in me. That's the work. Believe in me. And so many times we get confused in this. We believe that Jesus is what God asked the people today, and we believe that even this 2,000 years later, we believe this. We believe that there is something that we have to do to earn our way to heaven. There is something we have to do to earn our way to access to God. There is something that we have to do. Some good work to be on the good side of God. God is still asking us to believe in Jesus, and that's it. And not giving money to the church or Christian missions or organizations. Not teaching Sunday school. He's not asking us to get baptized, to be an elder, to be on a church board, or on a missions team. That's not what it takes. It's not about sharing our faith in Jesus to other people. No, the only thing that saves is believing in Jesus. It is what God demands, and it is the only thing that truly matters. A relationship with Jesus is what it boils down to, isn't it? Listen, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and we performed many miracles in your name, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Listen, too many times I think we find it easier to do the stuff than it is to actually spend time with Him, to get to know Him, to find rest in Him, to actually have and deepen our relationship with Jesus. And can I tell you something? I'm guilty of this. It's easier sometimes for me to just do a bunch of stuff for God than actually talk and spend time with God. Many times I have to stop and say, I am doing this and this, and I'm writing a sermon, and I'm counseling these people. But how's my relationship with Jesus going? Have I spent any significant time with Him this week? Am I diving into His Word this week? Am I allowing Him to speak to my soul, to change my heart in prayer? The only thing that saves us is knowing Jesus and having a relationship with Him. So that's the first question. The second question is this. Will you eat the bread of life? John 6:35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So here's what I know. We love the idea of Jesus. We love the idea. We love his miracles. We love that if we are in dire straits or someone that we know that needs to really beat the odds, you know, then we know that there is somebody out there that can change circumstances in an instant. We love that idea. We love the idea of God loving us. We love the idea of God saving us, of Jesus saving us. We love the idea of avoiding hell. We love that idea. But will you actually eat the bread? I know it's weird, right? Jesus is saying that we have to eat him, right? That's kind of weird. Cannibalism, right? Yeah. Jesus, are you suggesting that I be a cannibal? Listen to Matthew, to Jesus in Matthew 4:4. But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, this is where Jesus is being tempted by the devil. And so he's saying, you know, Jesus is hungry. And he's saying, the devil says, "Well, make these rocks into bread," you know. And Jesus is like, no, I'm not going to do that. He counters that food is not the only thing that sustains someone, but rather the Word of God is. Ezekiel 3:3, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it.' So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." Again, Ezekiel is being told by God to eat the scroll, his Word. Now listen to this. Two times here, and there's many more, two times here where, you know, they're saying you have to eat the Word. Eat the Word. Eat the Word of God. Eat the Word of God. Eat the scroll of God. Jesus is God's Word in flesh. Right? In the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, that's Jesus. Eat the Word. So many times we love so much about Jesus. We love the idea of Him. We want to have His presence in our lives, and then we want His presence to be in other people's lives. But we are not all in. You knew I was going to do this. But Illinois has a motto. All in. All in. The question this morning is, are you all in? Will you eat the bread? The bread he is offering is him. Will you eat the bread? And a lot of times we say, well, you know, we'll smell it. You know, we'll put up a social media post about it. But when it comes down to it, we're going to push back from the table. We're not going to eat the bread. Maybe we'll chew up a little bit in our mouth and we'll spit it back into a napkin, right? Will you eat the bread? Church, that question is so important for us this morning. Will we eat the bread of life? Will we be all in? Listen to John 3:36. "And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment." We must eat. We must belly up to the table and consume Jesus. Not just believe, but we must actually eat. the demons believe. Those that are saved eat. I prove that I believe by eating, by doing the things that He has asked us to do, by obeying His commands, by actually putting belief into action, which is what we call faith. So earlier I said it's not about giving money to the church or Christian missions and organizations. It's not about teaching Sunday school. It's not about being baptized. It's not about being an elder or being on a church board or on the missions team. It's not about sharing our faith to others, because the only thing that matters, the only thing that really, really matters is believing in Jesus. And if we aren't doing that, all those other things are just meaningless and have no bearing on anything on your soul. Listen, but when we believe and then we do those things because we love Jesus, because we want to be obedient to what He has called us to, then watch out. Church, when we believe in the one that God has sent and we eat the bread that God has sent from heaven, when we do those things, then God makes us a promise. Are you ready? Here's the promise. Anyone who believes and eats will have eternal life. John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. The word for eternal there is aionios, which means it boils down to quality as well as quantity. So it doesn't just mean that you're going to have life that goes on forever and ever and ever. It means you're going to have a life that is meaningful and fulfilling. John 17:3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So here's what that means. Jesus is offering anyone who believes and eats His bread a life that is eternal and a life that is full. That means life for us doesn't start after we take our last breath on earth. That's not what that means. Rather, our eternal life starts right now, today, this morning, in this moment. Our life starts. Eternal life starts. When you are baptized into the water and you come up, that's when eternal life begins. And for a lot of us, that is an eternal life that starts while we still have 40, 50, 60 years on earth. I have to admit, and my wife will testify to this, I get a little crazy when March Madness comes. Whether Illinois is in it or not, I love it. I love to watch almost every game. I love to fill out and keep track of the brackets. I love it when they play One Shining Moment by Luther Vandross and they show all the highlights, you know, after the champion has been named. I love it. It's all so fun. It's all so exciting. It's so magical. I gotta tell you, this week I was reading something and this is Philippians 3:10 through 11. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I read this, I read that, and I thought to myself, why is the basketball tournament the most exciting time of the year for me? Because the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in me. They're lying, I ain't got nothing on that. Why don't I live that way all year long? The question for us this morning: will you believe? Will you eat? Because if you do, eternity is yours. A full, abundant life is in store for you through Jesus.